Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, unrelated topics including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests for both experiences and researchers in the realm of near-death experiences and related topics. You're more than welcome to ring in during the show to ask questions of our guests or to make comments. We also would like to make a special announcement that tonight, 1 hour after Toward the Light, we are having our Light on the Water near-death experience support and discussion group meeting via teleconference, which means anyone, anywhere who can ring a U.S. telephone number can participate in the meeting. Anyone is welcome to join us. The number that you want to ring in for the meeting is area code 712-775-7100. Again, 712-775-7100. And then the passcode to enter is 512070, 512070, and then the pound key. If you forget this, you can always look on towardthelight.org, scroll down on the index page, and you will see the information about Light on the Water. Again, that is this evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time in America and midnight UK time. And it will be a wonderful support meeting. Also, for more information about the myriad of services and support that we offer through our organization Toward the Light, not the least of which is this wonderful radio program, please visit our websites towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. And I'd also like to encourage you to please make a donation to help support our precious work. This week I am very pleased to have back on our show a good friend of mine who's been on Toward the Light before. She is a channeler, the author of a wonderful book called Messages from the Archangel Gabriel, as well as Memories from Mu, which is another book she's written. Welcome back to Toward the Light, Gail Arbery. Hello, Gail.
Hi, Juliet.
It's wonderful to have you back on the show with us, and it was exciting talking to you yesterday because I know that you've got some really wonderful, powerful information that you've been receiving that you would like to share with our listeners. Let's give them just a little summary of some background about you, and then let's get into what we're going to discuss. I know that you were talking about the zero point, so that's going to be very interesting. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background, and then let's get into some of the messages you've had.
Well, Juliet, I've been everyone, I believe, is born with extrasensory abilities, or psychic, if you will. Many of us are shut down by what our parents and our culture around us teaches us. Our psychic abilities really stem from what we call our imagination.
Right.
And I was lucky enough not to ever be shut down because I was an only child and I was in a sort of disruptive family, so that not enough attention was focused on me to curb my imagination, shall we say. And so I've been psychic all my life. I've been walking and talking with God and with spirit entities all my life as a result. When I was 10 years old, I started realizing other people don't do that. And so I started keeping this information to myself. But that's pretty much it.
And, you know, that's interesting, too, because I remember when we talked about this before, this is something that you and I have very much got in common.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was thought crazy and a nutter and all that other malarkey because of always having this extrasensory perception, and yet it is as natural as breathing. And I think you and I can do wonderful work by reminding people that there's nothing strange or weird or wrong with it or about it, that it's really a part of our innate God-given nature to have
really
this ability and to use it. So I'm really excited, and it's literally saved your life to honor your intuition, and you've gotten in trouble when you haven't honored it, as we talked about on the last time you were on the show. So this is a really good point, and I also wrote about it in my blog so people can read about Gail Aubrey there. It's a pretty exciting stuff. So what is some of the powerful information that you have been receiving, and you might want to give a little bit of history about that too?
Okay, Julia. Well, when I go to sleep at night, I, as we all do, we move into different realms of reality. And I have been visiting for a number of years. I call them my Fab Four, which are the four archangels, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Raphael. And of course, they come in many different forms and shapes because they can look and appear as anything, both feminine and masculine. Well, they've been teaching me a lot to my human brain, because our higher self, of course, is as aware and as God conscious as all higher level beings, angelic beings. So. But what we're really doing is educating my human brain by my human brain actually waking up or partially waking up as I'm out of body at night in my dream state. So lately they've been concentrating on temples, which is really interesting. I find myself in these beautiful temples, all different types of temples, where there's learning going on. And I see a lot of people I actually know in those temples, and we're sitting down and learning. And I've actually questioned a few of them because... They live close by, and some of them actually remember some of the temples, including my own kids. So that's been very eye opening to actually start talking to one of my kids and say, or she would actually talk to me first and was describing this temple, and then I said, "Did you see this waterfall behind it? And did you see this water wheel?" "Oh yeah, I remember that." And lo and behold, it was the same temple I had seen, you know. So, and that was without us ever discussing beforehand this. So anyway, in these temples, we're taught a lot of, how to walk. I guess the easiest way to say it is how to walk in the light, Julia. How to walk fearlessly, how to walk in full ability with our psychic nature in the human body. We have great abilities that we don't even touch on in this physical form because our imagination has been closed. It's been taught to us that our imagination is nothing but lies or daydreams and nothing of reality. And so because of that, all the information that comes through the clairvoyant part of our brain or the psychic part of our brain, the creative part of our brain, has been treated as fun but fluff, nothing of any concrete value. And so because of that, most humans walk around half awake. They walk around in a lull or in a stupor because they're not fully aware of all of their abilities that they have right at their command. So... Am I rambling yet?
No, and you know, what you're saying is so relevant. Please keep going. This is wonderful because it's interesting to note the fact that to somebody like myself, I've always been predominantly right brain. And, of course, that's the part of the brain that taps into this mysticism and to the creativity and to the higher realms.
Right, right.
And you're so right that it's just, you know, society has done everything in its power to dumb us down. And in fact, just today I was reading a newsletter from David Icke addressing all of the food additives, food and drink additives. He calls them chemical cocktails.
Right.
Especially that are being pushed on to children.
Yes,
and children,
yes,
of course,
absolutely,
are the ones who are most naturally in touch with their higher wisdom.
Yeah, well, the right brain, if you will, is actually your soul consciousness. And your soul consciousness opens to God consciousness, to full consciousness. And so that's where it comes into your human form. And then you have the left brain, which is your analytical consciousness, which is responsible for your five senses nature.
Right.
So that, and that's the part of the brain that is responsible for keeping the body alive. And so there's a lot of fear based in the five senses consciousness, the left brain, because you have to have a certain amount of fear so you don't walk off a cliff, so you don't walk in front of a train, so you don't drown, that type of thing. But if you make the left brain the predominant brain or the predominant thinker in this life, you literally live in fear. And that's where you get greed and jealousy and all of this, is because everything is based around fear nature. And so you need to move from a left brain way of thinking, which is really struggle for survival and that's it, to a right brain where you're actually, you're tapping into your higher self and literally to the voice of God ultimately. You know.
Boy, that's such a valid point too, and one that can't be stressed enough.
Yeah. And so what happened, about a half a year ago, this is so cool, I woke up, I was taught in one temple, and Gabriel, who I work with quite a bit, kept telling me, Macedonian steel, Chaldean steel, don't forget those two things. And I didn't know what they were, but I woke up mumbling, Macedonian steel, Chaldean steel. So I told my husband, I said, we got to write this down real quick. So I did. And so I looked up to see today what it was, and I found that the Chaldean seal and the Macedonian seal do exist. The Chaldean seal was a seal made around 600 BC, and it had these nine steps to getting to the center of the circle, which was union with God. And the Macedonian seal, in the center of the Macedonian seal, I don't know when that was made, I think it was a little bit later, in the center it said, I am one with God. So the lesson I had been taught in the temple that night, that previous night when I woke up mumbling these two things, was about zero point. And zero point actually being the center or the connection, the connection with God. So since then, for the past year, I've been, this information is just unfolding about what zero point is in relationship to all of us. And one thing that's very, very interesting is the human body has a zero point in the body itself, and it's between the heart chakra and the solar plexus. Right between those two chakras, there is a zero point. There's a doctor in England, and I'm not sure of his name, but he did quite a bit of research showing how if this center point migrates out of its the space where it should be, you get different sicknesses. And depending on which way it migrates, he actually has a chart. He breaks it into four quadrants. You get different diseases. He also has a machine that can actually manipulate this energy center back to the center of the body, and has healed people, and some healers actually use their hands and just manipulate it that way.
That does sound familiar, and I would like to find out about him too and research this, because I remember a number of years ago, and a lot of people might be familiar with Greg Braden.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who's done a lot of work centered on zero point, and actually has provided illustrations, as it were, of the flower of life.
Right,
which,
right.
You know, a lot of
yep.
people have seen.
Yep.
And this is all in conjunction with the zero point. And I know that it's absolutely real. And, again, another good thing to really be aware of and to focus on, because in a lot of ways there's a lot more division and disparity, as it were, between being fully conscious and in the love versus being unconscious and in the fear.
Right.
And as the challenges escalate in our world, unfortunately, that's a real breeding ground for more and more fear. And so we are needing these messages to remind people of our own divinity so that we do not get caught up in that cesspit of fear.
Absolutely, Juliet. And I mean, you know, the bottom line, the simplest way I can say it is people need to open up to their higher self, and the easiest way to do it is to open up to their imagination. And then that being said, people say, well, I have a lot of fear in my imagination. Fear comes from the analytical side of your brain. The higher self, which is eternal, is fearless because there's nothing that can harm it. And so
exactly.
Any fear that you receive through your dream state or just your waking dreams, you know, or just sitting there and thinking, that comes actually from your analytical brain. And if you listen enough to your higher self through your imagination, you'll start to get, you're actually listening to God talking to you. You'll start to realize how powerful you are, how aware you are, and you'll start to tune into your own intuition. And once you start seeing the results of your intuition, once you start seeing that your intuition is actually leading you correctly and saving you, it's sort of like a snowball effect. You lean more and more toward that way of thinking and less toward your fear-based thinking. So that's interesting. It's a real interesting process. I think people are going, especially the way things are unraveling right now in this world of great change, I think people are going to need to depend more on their inner guidance, their higher self, their imagination, the voice of God speaking to them. However you want to say it, they're going to have to listen to that, because we get so much disinformation anyway, and there's a lot of panic buttons that are going to be that are being pushed, and more that will be pushed. So we can't listen to what the voice of humanity is feeding us on the outside world. We have to listen more to our own inner guidance.
Well, people definitely need to switch off the television and start switching on their inner wisdom and tapping into that again.
Yes, yes.
I know one thing that I've been doing a lot lately, which is wonderful, wonderful therapy, is playing my piano,
yep.
Making music, and just being with spirit in the music. It's amazing how much it empowers and elevates me.
Yep. Well, one of the things that I'm writing about in my last book, we go back to it's really back to basics. We're taught, my Fab Four and some others have been teaching me, we're readdressing chakras. And chakras are little vortexes, little vortices within your body. Each chakra relates to a different level of creational reality, everything from the mineral kingdom to the spirit kingdom and beyond. So, but each chakra is actually not only a transmitter, it transmits information through the chakra out to the world around us, but it also receives information. And then when that information is received, for instance, the first chakra, which is our root chakra at the base of our spine, is in connection with all of the mineral kingdom. So everything that, from rocks to salt and sand, are minerals. Well, these beings, they are actually a reality. They have a consciousness. They hold memories of the earth. They communicate to us. And to receive that information, you have to activate your first chakra, and then the information comes into you, and then the way you perceive it is through your imagination or the intuitive part of your brain. So, and then the way you communicate to rocks and to the ocean sands and whatever you want to communicate with is through your intuitive brain or your imagination, and then it moves out through your first chakra. So each chakra, the second chakra, which is in your abdomen, is the plant kingdom. The third chakra is the animal kingdom. The fourth chakra is the heart, and that's the human kingdom. And so that's how we actually communicate to each other, even though we also use our analytical brain and speak words, but a lot of our words don't really say what we mean, but our heart chakra always does. The fifth chakra is interesting. It's right at the base of our throat by our, pardon me, our thymus, and this is our communication with the consciousness of the planet, what people have called Gaia. And the planet itself will actually speak to you, and you can communicate with the planet. The sixth chakra is in the center of your throat, and that's the communication with higher realms of reality, everything from people that have passed over to ETs to what we consider angels or spirit guides. We feel it right in that sixth chakra. The seventh chakra, which is in the middle of our forehead, is actually our psychic realm, or our third eye, what we consider our third eye. It's the first portal out into higher realities as you fall asleep and your consciousness moves through your human body and out into higher realities at night. And then the eighth chakra is at the top of our head and is considered the crown chakra. And the eighth chakra is where we pick up the energy or the light that's in the quantum field, what we call the golden light. And it's this energy, some people have called it mother's milk, that energizes all of reality, all of creation. And our bodies use it just like everything else uses this energy.
It's like a huge antenna, isn't it? It picks up and transmits.
Well, that's what, you know, if you take the chemical in the water makeup of your body, you get a battery.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here you have it, you know. Then the ninth chakra is, the ninth chakra is interesting. It's, you know, people say it's slightly above our head, but if you think of our auric field as a huge egg around us, then the ninth chakra is actually encompassing all of us in that huge egg slightly outside of the human body itself. And I was opening my book because I wanted to read some of the stuff that...
Yeah, as a Reiki practitioner, I'm aware of that too, because we study the chakras and then the sub-chakras, as it were.
Your body is filled with chakras, you know, of course.
Sure.
I'll get into that in a minute, but the ninth chakra is your connection point to higher levels of reality other than your human vibrational reality, because the human vibrates at a certain resonance, and beyond that, below and above are other frequencies and other realities that your soul connects to, even though your human body, it just can't go there. And then the tenth and 11th, or the 10th vibrational reality is, some people actually see in their dreams geometric forms. It was once called the Platonic solids, the 10th vibrational reality, but it's where there are actually the first geometric forms or the first shapes of a physical reality are taking place as light is intersecting, slowing down and making matter. And so it's just filled with all of these beautiful geometric forms. And the 11th chakra is, the 10th and 11th are actually the same chakra, but we break it down. The 11th chakra is the music, is the sound of light breaking or light intersecting with itself and making these matrices of light. And so the sound is what we call the music of the spheres, or we call the older cultures used to call it the choir of angels singing. But actually, when the matrices of light are being formed, are intersecting with each other, they give off a sound, which is this beautiful sound of the music of the spheres that many people experience in transcendental meditation as they're meditating and they move to higher levels.
Oh, that's very familiar, absolutely. And
yeah.
And everything, because everything has got a vibrational frequency, there is going to be a tone associated with it.
That's right. And so as things bump into and shift, and as you get these rays of light that intersect with each other, there is actually sound coming from it. And then, of course, the 12th level, and, you know, these are all human terms, so we can sort of understand with our human consciousness these other parts of the vibrational field, because it's just one field. The 12th level is the union with what we call our highest self or God consciousness. And in what I've been shown, the highest self is star self, and then that star connects with God consciousness. So then going back to the chakras, each chakra looks like a little tornado swirling around. And you have a male and female side of that tornado. It looks like yin-yang. And in the very center of that tornado, or that little vortex, is this quiet spot, just like in the center of a regular tornado, and that is zero point. So in each chakra, you have a zero point or connection, full connection with God consciousness also.
So, that's very interesting.
Yep. And if we utilize, first of all, again, we have to utilize our what we call our imagination or our psychic side. If we start to utilize our abilities with the psychic part or our soul's mind, then we will be utilizing fully all of these chakras. And we'll be in communication not only with the physical world around us that our human eyes can see, but other realities. And so then we've got the car running and we know what we're doing with it. You know what I mean? Not only can you turn the engine on, but you know how to drive it. You know how to honk the horns and turn the lights on. And, you know, I mean, that's the thing is we haven't really ever been taught how to fully, not everybody. The mystics have always taught this to their students. But the majority of humans have never even, don't even have an inkling to the abilities that they have.
And that's what we need to encourage them to tap into because it is just so critical at this point.
Well, I mean, their life will, how they survive will depend on this. I mean, we can continue to live in a fear-based, in a fear-nurtured society and give away our energy. Because when you're afraid, you know, just like when you're shaking and you give off energy, when you're afraid, you actually give off your life force. And there are things that tap into this life force, you know, and they take it.
You took the thought right out of my head. That's exactly what I was going to say, because these entities who have been controlling this planet for thousands of years absolutely do feed on the fear. That's why I always make it a concerted effort. In fact, I was speaking about this when I was a guest on Curiel's Heartlink program this past week, how important it is to keep focusing on being in the love, being in the love, because as you know, love and fear are completely different frequencies.
That's right.
And you can't mix them. You're either in a state of fear or you're in a state of love. And in spite of what's going on, I mean, I know it's easier said than done right now, and so maybe we can help people have some tools to better enable themselves to move into the frequency of love, because I know when people are in a state of terror or what have you, they become paralyzed by it, and yet they need to know that that's not the ultimate power.
No, it isn't.
And that fear, as I also pointed out in my near-death experiences, is an acquired state. It's not a natural one.
That's right. That's right.
And so how we can encourage people to tap into their own divinity and to trust in their experiences with the intuition, because, again, it's, you know, we're not always going to have these technological resources available to us for communicating, for getting information, what have you. We need to listen to it and trust in our intuition and our dreams.
And I was just thinking, you know, a lot of people have to be pushed out of their, maybe I want to say comfort zone, even though I never understood how a fear-based consciousness could be a comfort zone.
I share that. I share that confusion.
Yeah. But a lot of people do have to be pushed out of their comfort zone. And I was just thinking of incidents where parents trying to save a child for some reason. And after having exhausted all resources in the analytical part of their brain, and there's nothing left, then they start praying or talking to God. And when they do get answers and find that that actually through the other side of their brain, they're getting the answers and the miracles that they need, lo and behold, they're finally utilizing a different part of themselves and their connection with God. But a lot of times, like I said, we've really been lulled. You know, Juliet, I think we've been lulled, the humanity has been lulled into a complacency. Everything from, I hate to say it, but everything from TV and radio feeding us information that is constantly barraging our minds to the material world and to acquiring more and more material possessions, which are things that take our attention away from talking with God, from going inward. You know, the world, everything that our media seems to, not everything, because of course your show isn't, and there's a lot of wonderful shows. And
well, this is very unique, and thank goodness not mainstream media. So.
Right. But if you think about it, most of it is always taking our attention outside, focusing on the acquiring more material things,
right,
or living,
yes,
in the material world. And so the inward journey, the journey of listening to our higher self, listening to the voice of God, is really ignored for the most part, you know. And it's been, we're brainwashed, we're lulled into this other reality where everything is okay if you have that new car, or everything.
Exactly.
Is okay if, you know what I'm saying? So, and it isn't okay.
No, you know, indeed.
No amount of wealth can give you a miracle if you need to be healed, and those miracles are actually just connection with your higher self, connecting to God. I mean, there are things we can do. I mean, you know, even great masters like Buddha, the Buddha and Christ have shown, not only spoken, but shown the great innate ability of every human body and every human mind. But we don't tap into this because we don't believe we have the ability to do it. We think only the masters do, for some miraculous reason. They're you know, something special, but we're all special, you know.
Well, absolutely, and unfortunately, the whole thing of being intuitive has been demonized, and that's a serious, serious problem.
And that has to do, a lot of that has to do with, you know, there's all sorts of things that feed off our energy, including humans. There are humans that feed, that are power hungry.
Oh, yes.
Feed off of the fear and control of other human beings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people like us who are teaching people to free their minds and free their souls, or free their minds to their souls, these people and these other elements in our world don't want us to speak of this stuff. They want us to, you know, not teach people their own innate abilities. They want to keep control and keep feeding off of our fear, you know?
And that's something that really needs to be turned around, too, because I've seen so much of that, and then consequently it becomes twisted. I mean, just the whole idea of doing remote viewing, of doing telepathy, of doing mediumship, you know, and I do all of that. I've just naturally done it. There's nothing weird or bizarre about it.
A lot of people will actually utilize those things for power and money over others, too.
Yeah, you unfortunately,
know?
And so, yes.
That taints it because, I mean, you know, whether you're a saint or a sinner, you have that psychic ability. You have that psychic ability, but how the rest of your life is going and how you have determined to use that ability is totally up to you. I mean, it's a free will world. You know what I mean? So we can do whatever we desire to do with our ability. Not that it doesn't backfire, ultimately, because the universe has a way of whatever you give out, whether it's good or bad, you're going to get it back tenfold, you know?
So having the ability itself is actually neutral. It's the intent,
right,
behind.
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. You have the free will to decide what to do with that ability.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people, if they just were able to tap into their higher self, a lot of their fears would subside. They would get a lot of answers. They'd get a lot of healing in their life. They would have a lot of divine grace, which would show them, you know, I mean, it's your higher self. It would show you what it actually came here to do in this lifetime, how to best accomplish it, how to live in light, and light and love are synonymous. And I mean, think of it, Juliet. The whole, everything in the universe, everything in our universe, we live in what's called a universe of light, because everything is made of light.
Absolutely.
Matter,
yes.
Matter is light slowed down. So everything that you see, everything that we interact with, everything on the higher vibrational and lower vibrational levels, it's all light. Light is love. So we live in a universe of love. You know? And so then people say, well, what is shadow? They'll come to me, well, what is fear? And I'll say, it's shadow. I said, the shadow is where there isn't, where there's still, the light isn't there yet. That's all it is the light isn't there yet. It's nothing more than that. When you, I've said this to you before, when you light a match in an absolutely dark room, the darkness has to subside to the light, because light is that powerful, and light and love are the same thing. So, you know, going back to that's something that everybody that has ever read mystical writings, including the Bible, would know that anyway. But going back to what we were talking about, if people could just start to tap into their own higher self, to start believing in themselves and tap into their own higher self, their own inner voice, and that wisdom from that inner voice, just that in itself would change this world phenomenally. It would just be a huge change, a huge shift. And, you know, I mean, I just can't, because you, and this is going to happen, Juliet. There is going to be at least 24%. 24% of humanity is going to shift into that consciousness. I believe that you're going to see that within your lifetime, 24%.
Interesting. Now, I was going to ask you, actually, if you have noticed a strong trend of people waking up, of people actually becoming more intuitive and more creative and more trusting of that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, I see it in all ages, not just in, like, my age group or younger people. I see it in all ages.
Mm.
It's not everybody. It is just a certain amount of those people. So, you know, I believe that there's going to be a separation in the milk and cream, so to speak. And I think we're going to see it by 2012.
Oh boy! Yeah, that's not very far off now, is
no,
it? Goodness
no.
me, we're moving into 2008 here soon.
That's right. That's right. And that's why your work is so important, and that's why you need to be here, because this is the information.
Yeah, I was just noting to someone yesterday when I wrote, I've been sent back a number of times. And yet other people just get to stay home, and I don't like this. Why do you keep sending me back, you know?
Yeah,
and I just feel that as long as there's something that the light needs me to do, then I'm going to be here. It's very, very intense, and, you know, I would like to be able to have Scotty beam me up, because it's not a very friendly planet right now, but I think it's, again, as a near-death experiencer, it is actually experiences unconditional love and this light. You know, to be able to say from experience, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I know it. I'm not just hypothesizing anymore. And then giving other people the opportunity to share their profound wisdom through their experiences, too. I think that, you know, this is providing a lot of confirmations and validations for people, hopefully in a manner of speaking, giving them permission to pursue their own inner wisdom.
I think that's exactly what it's doing. It's giving a voice to souls. In other words, it's allowing the souls of people to speak to other souls and call them out, wake them up, so that these other people can wake up to their own inner self, their higher self. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, Juliet, you know, that incredible love and peace that you feel on those higher realms when you move out, whether it's a near-death experience or a high meditation, whatever way you see it, out-of-body experience, astral projection, when you reach that state of incredible love and peace, and you can bring that to this earth. We can have that here on this plane. You see?
That's what
humanity is meant to be, is meant to live in, is that awareness and be the great masters, be the earth angels, be the star seed children, the children of light, all of that stuff. That's what we are meant to have right here in this earth. We're meant to be the gardeners of this earth. We're meant to caretake this planet, which has a consciousness of our own, and we're meant to be here and take care of the planet. We're meant to be here and love the planet and take care of each other. We're not meant to be here to fight over the planet and destroy the planet and rape the planet and kill each other. That's all fear-based. That's
exactly
fear-based. We're meant to be nurturers and gardeners and protectors, you see.
And I think a very important point around that is, once again, you and I are both very aware of the sinister forces that are controlling this planet and have been for thousands of years, and the fact that they feed off of fear. And so the really important thing, which I realize is a challenge, is that we must not succumb to fear, because then we're just giving them a huge feast, which in turn empowers them. And what we need to do is to elevate ourselves into a state of love, into a state of deep knowing, because that's not going to give these other entities anything else to work with. And by and by, they are going to decrease in power. I would like to think that they already are starting to decrease in power, although it doesn't look like it on the surface.
Well,
it looks like they're just gaining momentum on us now.
Yeah.
But I think that, it again, it's kind of giving us a cosmic kick in the bum, as it were, really pushing us to become more aware and to take responsibility and to listen to that higher wisdom that is coming through us at all times.
And once you listen to that, you actually even, you know, there's an old Christian gospel that says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through.
Oh, I say that all the time, and I'm not even Christian.
Well, the thing is, and it says in the Bible, we dwell in the heavenlies with Christ now, it says, not when we die, but right now. What it means is that, you know, wherever you put your consciousness, wherever you focus your mind, that's where you are.
Yes. You know?
And whether you call them devils, devil spirits, reptilians, the bad guys, you know, the shadow government, whatever you call it, you know, there's always been that negative force that's right there trying to sap the light from you. It's a parasite, the parasitic natured thing or being. And yet it's the shadow, and it's not as powerful as the light. So if you simply step out of that shadow and into what we consider love and light, that stuff can't touch you. You move
exactly
out of its realm.
It reminds me of a sweet little film that I actually was fortunate enough to see. I rarely see films at all, but it was called The Dark Crystal.
Oh, yeah, Jim Henson.
And that really depicts that very message right there.
Yep.
You know how they were definitely reptilians just taking the essence out of these people, and they would do it by getting them in a state of fear and paralysis and in a hypnotized state. And the fact is that we've got to remember the love, and that is the ultimate power. But
yep.
People get thrown off by the fact that the dark energy is so aggressive that it's got the appearance of being more powerful, but actually, in fact, it is not.
Whenever we manifest fear, we're actually manifesting dark energy.
Oh,
whether
yeah.
Whether you become, you know, like I said, whether it's jealousy, whether it's envy, whether it's getting greedy or power hungry, those are all fear-based energies, and those actually sap energy from other people. So, in fact, humans themselves do utilize or are at least being utilized by that energy force. And then that's why you have all of these humans that are doing such atrocious things to other human beings. You know, it isn't just what we're calling devils or reptilians that are running around doing this. There are actually humans that that their mind has been so overshadowed by fear that they do horrible things to each other, Juliet.
Yes, indeed.
Horrible things. You know, people have, there has to be, and remember, that fear grabs hold of the analytical brain first, because the analytical brain is concerned with struggle for survival. It's trying to keep the body alive, and so it's fear-based.
Yes.
So that's, again, you have to go back to your higher self thinking, the place where compassion, the seed of compassion lies, where love predominates, and that's what we might call our imagination or our psychic side or the soul mind, the creative mind.
And that's the difficult challenge, too, is because the forces or the powers that be are actually spending a lot of time right now keeping people preoccupied with the struggle to survive and not allowing them an opportunity to do much of anything else.
And it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see how the dispersion of wealth has shifted to there's less and less money in circulation. More of that money is going to the hands of the few, the very, very wealthy. And so
exactly.
What that does, and this is all over the world, it isn't just here. Of course, we feel it here, but not anything like in a third world country. But what happens is when people become frantic trying to survive, of course, their analytical mind goes into full gear trying to find ways to survive, and they become very fearful, and then they're very easily manipulated by these, warmongers and these, people.
So do you have some ideas of exercises or things that people can do to kind of thwart that and tap into their higher wisdom?
Well, whether you call it prayer or meditation, if you can give yourself, a half hour a day to just get very silent and listen to try to concentrate so you can hear God talking to you, and then focus on, literally just focus on the world, whether it's just your neighborhood. I mean, it doesn't have to be the whole earth. You can focus on your neighborhood. You can focus on a friend who is sick. You can focus on a bad situation, Just focus on filling that thing with light for a half hour a day. And you can start in small things and work up, but, you will see a change not only in your surroundings, but you'll see a change in your own consciousness, because you'll be moving from that analytical brain to the psychic side of yourself or the higher soul, and you'll be utilizing that more. And then, start a half-hour day, say like at night before you go to bed or in the morning before you get up and do anything. Just give yourself a half hour to visualize, to pray, or to meditate, however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, or just visualize and listen, try to hear God talking to you. There's a quiet little voice inside. And then concentrate on something you want to see changed for the better. And then after a while, it becomes almost second nature. You just start doing that as you're walking around. You start constant. You see something, and you'll actually feel energy go through you, and you'll feel energy come down through you, and then release to whatever you're concentrating on. And then you start to actually work with your higher self in a waking state. Because we work with our higher self. We are our higher self at night when our body's asleep. A human mind is at rest. We're still working then, but the whole purpose for coming into the human form is to work as angels on earth, or, as I call them, earth angels. But whatever you want to call them, children of light,
Stuff. I think, too, that getting into any kind of creative activity.
Yep, creative.
Also helps.
Yeah, it does. It's the first step. But a lot of people do a lot of creative activity and they don't get to that next step. You know what I mean? Which is really just visualizing, concentrating, and working in conjunction with the voice of their higher self. The creative side is a wonderful first step if you're talking about like any kind of anything from fine arts to making a cake. It's creativity. You do depend on your imagination. You do depend on your intuition. The next step is to just have a direct line, is to just start actually. People have this ability to, people do this all the time, Juliet, when they're, like I said, when they're pressed, their backs are against the wall. They don't have any trouble praying then. They don't have any trouble asking for help and focusing then. People have this ability. They've just been lulled into thinking they don't need to do it. So even though I think it's wonderful to be artists and musicians and all of that, I think it's time for people to start really being who they came here to be. Which
and you see, too, is that a lot of people don't trust their intuition or their inner voice, so they think they're making it up, or some people said just their imagination, but imagination is indeed what they need to tap into, because
exactly.
That allows the free flow of information coming from source.
Yes, absolutely, Julia.
And
you
know, it's kind of interesting that all of my life I've been just naturally interdimensional, so I can't really imagine what it would be like to live in the left brain, because I never really have. That's the more underdeveloped side of my makeup, I have to admit. And maybe that's not a bad thing after all. But
no, it
isn't.
Because it can be a tremendous handicap, Juliet.
Yes.
To depend on your analytical brain solely. You know, analytical brain has its advantages. You know, it does tell you not to walk off the cliff. You know, it does tell you that if you smash into that train, you're going to get squished, you know?
Right.
So there are things that it does teach us, but it's not meant to be who we are. It's only like the mechanics of our body. It teaches us what the limitations of the mechanical part of our body is. That's it.
And I think there's a real difference between caution and fear. And I think you're talking about caution, which
right.
is indeed useful. But then
once it goes beyond that, the analytical brain will take over. You see, it will drive you to fear. I mean, it will put you into, you know, almost an obsession. Animals, you can see animals do this too if they become overly fearful. You know, it isn't just humans. It's all of... Or they actually become power hungry and they become obsessive and they,
yeah,
you know, so it's not, it is an animal instinct, but beyond that is a higher nature, and humans and animals have it. All things have it. I mean, my God, trees have it. Rocks
yes.
have it, you know.
Absolutely.
So, and, you know, here's these beautiful trees just giving their lives for us every day, you know. These, you know, a lot of animals that we have cultivated for our own use, they could have just died out instead of allowing themselves to be domesticated and used by humans. They could have chosen to die out and refuse to live in our culture or in the way that we're using them, you see. And they, by their own love and free will, they have allowed themselves to be used by human beings, you see? So I guess what I'm trying to say is we all make decisions, you know. We all, not just human beings, but everything makes decisions on whether it wants to live in a fear-based or a love-based consciousness, you know. These animals that we... unfortunately, a lot of times use and abuse and do horrible things to still keep loving us, still keep supporting us, still keep hoping, you know, as a group consciousness, they keep supporting humanity and hoping that humanity will evolve to its full potential, its highest self.
Well, this is a very powerful thing to work towards. So pleased to have had you on this hour. I can't believe that it's already flown right by, and you've shared so much wisdom with us. What is the title of your upcoming book? Are you at liberty to divulge that?
Yep. You can actually access a little of it online. It's on the eWeb Tribe. You can read the beginning of it, which I've written a long time ago. It's called Messages to the Earth Angels.
Okay, Messages to the Earth Angels, and where can people see it? Is there a website?
Yep, you can go on the same website where you can access messages from the Archangel Gabriel. It's eWebTribe. It's under Gail Albury. I haven't got the thing right here, but it's on your website.
Okay, yeah, so people can always hotlink to your profile page on towardthelight.org. It's been so wonderful having you this week, and next week we're going to have an Indiana who actually died in a fire. Lots of stuff with fire coming up, and her name is Ronelle Wallace. So you won't want to miss next week's transmission of Toward the Light, leading back to the source. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale reminding you that it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And I also want to remind you, as we've been talking about for the past hour, only love prevails. And that's the most important thing to remember. Only love prevails. Again, please visit our website, towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. And an hour from now, we do have our Light on the Water teleconference. And for information about that, please go to towardthelight.org. It's been wonderful being with you for this past hour. Please join us again next week for another transmission of Toward the Light. Blessings and light. We will talk to you next week.